Vamadya Purusha Saksha
Vamadya Purusha Saksha
Ishvara Prakrite Paraha
Ishvara Prakrite Paraha
Mayam Vyudasya Chichchaktya Kaivalye Stita Atmani Tvam Adya Purusha Saksha Ishvara Prakrite Paraha Mayam Vyudasya Chichchaktaya Kaivalye Stita Atmani Original Personality of Godhead, who expands himself all over the creations and is transcendental to material energy. You have cast away the effects of the material energy by dint of your spiritual potency. You are always situated in eternal bliss and transcendental knowledge. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Lord states in the Bhagavad Gita that one who surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord can get release from the clutches of nescience. Krishna is just like the sun, and Maya or material existence is just like darkness. Wherever there is the light of the sun, darkness or ignorance at once vanishes. The best means to get out of the world of ignorance is suggested here. The Lord is addressed herein as the original personality of Godhead. From him all other personalities of Godhead expand. The all-pervasive Lord Vishnu is Lord Krishna's plenary portion or expansion. The Lord expands himself in innumerable forms of Godhead and living beings along with his different energies. But Sri Krishna is the original primeval Lord from whom everything emanates. The all-pervasive feature of the Lord experienced within the manifested world is also a partial representation of the Lord. Paramatma, therefore, is included within him. He is the absolute personality of Godhead. He has nothing to do with the actions and reactions of the material manifestation because he is far above the material creation. Darkness is a perverse representation of the sun, and therefore the existence of darkness depends on the existence of the sun. But in the sun proper, there is no trace of darkness. As the sun is full of light only, similarly the absolute personality of Godhead beyond the material existence is full of bliss. He is not only full of bliss, but also full of transcendental variegatedness. Transcendence is not at all static, but full of dynamic variegatedness. He is distinct from the material nature, which is complicated by the three modes of material nature. He is Parama, or the chief. Therefore, he is absolute. He has manifold energies, and through his diverse energies, he creates, manifests, maintains, and destroys the material world. In his own abode, however, everything is eternal and absolute. The world is not conducted by the energies of powerful material agents by themselves, but by the potent, all-powerful, with all energies. Krishna is Partha Sarathi. Ratin Krishna. He is the chariot driver of Arjuna. out of love, taking the role of Arjuna's servant. The great pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to enjoy serving his devotees. This is the inconceivable principle which can only be understood in the path of bhakti. The impersonalist philosophers, or even those who approach the Lord in a mood of great power and reverence, it is very difficult for them to comprehend how the absolute infinite becomes subordinate to his subordinate infinitesimal parts. But the power of love, the power of bhakti, is the very essence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's existence, because the Lord exists only for this purpose. He is Purusha. He is the Supreme Enjoying Personality. And in his original abode, in the original form of Shyam Sundar, Sri Krishna, he expands himself through his own divine transcendental will in the form of Sri Radhika Rani, simply so that he can eternally enjoy being subordinate to her love. That is the essence of spirituality. That is the highest absolute truth, to understand how the Lord enjoys subordinate to the love of his own divine transcendental devotional energy. And the loving reciprocation between Radha and Krishna is the origin of everything that exists. And that same loving reciprocation, which is being enacted within the complete whole, or Krishna and Sri Radha, is enacted between the Lord and his diversified energies, or the jiva-atmas. Radha and Krishna is the Vishnu-tattva and the Shakti-tattva. And within the tattva of the jiva, that same divine spiritual lila takes place eternally. The jivatma is eternally subordinate to Sri Krishna, but at the same time, Sri Krishna is always longing and aspiring to be subordinate to the love of his own infinitesimal part. And that is why he comes, he descends into this world in his original forms, to inspire and induce the jivatma to develop that quality of pure, unmotivated love, so that he could willingly find great pleasure in subordinating himself to that love. This is Krishna's lila. And this is the heart, the life, and the soul of all devotees: to give pleasure to Krishna, to give pleasure to the Lord in any way. So here Krishna is taking position of the servant, subordinate to his own devotee, Arjuna. Arjuna says, "Place my chariot between the armies," and Krishna, as per instruction, places the chariot between the armies. during the Battle of Kurukshetra, when Arjuna was ferociously trying to reach Jayadratha before the sun sets. Krishna was driving his chariot with such speed that the horses became very tired. And Krishna, while Arjuna was accepting the very royal, chivalrous position of shooting his arrows and battling against these great kshatriyas, Krishna, in the mood of assisting him, began to brush his horses and took his horses to some water to refresh them. This is the service of someone who is very menial. He was just assisting Arjuna. He willingly took this position. Such a beautiful meditation. But at the same time, we must know that Krishna is always in the supreme position of the absolute controller of all controllers. And here we find that Arjuna, he is in great trouble. Ashwatthama has killed his son and his four nephews. And in order to seek revenge, not really revenge, a devotee does not seek revenge, but actually he is seeking justice. Justice is the duty of a kshatriya, to serve to those who have offended others. So he is seeking Ashwatthama, and Ashwatthama, knowing that he has made a great mistake. If you play with fire, you have to accept the consequences. As we were explaining in our last class, when a devotee or when a conditioned soul or anyone acts instinctively according to one's materially conditioned nature, when one acts either out of lust or greed or envy or anger or pride, one loses one's intelligence. One behaves in such a way that one does not discriminate of what will be the reaction, what will be the future fruit of my activity. And then we regret. Therefore, it is very, very important through sadhana, through good satsang, through philosophical analysis of the purpose of life, to strengthen our intelligence. So then when material nature attacks and pride or anger or lust or greed or envy or illusion comes into our mind through our senses, then we are able to rationally discriminate what is to be done and what is not to be done. Otherwise, we simply react with no consideration of the consequence. And one such act could put a blemish on our entire life. In fact, one such act could ruin our life, physically, spiritually, everything. Human life is meant to discriminate with our intelligence. And therefore, we must strengthen our intelligence. But Ashwatthama, he was so angry. He was so angry because of the death of his father that he acted without consideration of the consequence. And the consequence was Arjuna was seeking justice. And Ashwatthama was no match to Krishna and Arjuna. So he began to flee for his life. Something he never expected he would have to do. He was fleeing for his life. And when he saw that Arjuna and Krishna could not be escaped from, and his horses were tired, and he was on the verge of being destroyed. At that time, he sipped water, and he began to recite the incantations which invoke the presence of the most powerful of all nuclear weapons, the Brahmastra. Srila Prabhupada describes that this Brahmastra is more powerful than any of the bombs that man can create through manipulation of the gross energy. Even in this world, we find that the subtler we go into material elements, the more power there is. Gross energy, it used to be that in our Western civilization, that people would fight with clubs. First, they would just fight with their fists. They would just smash each other and bite each other and kick each other. And there's some power there. And then they started using clubs and everything like that. And then they began to go into subtler forms of weapons, where they began to take chemicals, dynamite, gunpowder. It's actually learning how to induce chemical reactions which create a certain type of power. It's a much subtler form of energy than just beating people over the head with a club or with a fist. And then there is atomic bombs, where they go very, very subtle into gross energy, where they begin to split the atoms. But that wasn't even good enough. And they started going into nuclear bombs, where they start splitting even subtler elements than the atoms, and finding deeper, more powerful energy. You have all seen pictures of the atomic bomb when it was dropped in Hiroshima. The whole city was entirely covered by this mushroom-shaped cloud, and practically everything was destroyed, because man had learned through certain scientific culture how to go deeper into the subtle elements of material existence, splitting atoms and creating chain reaction effects in that way. And the subtler they go, the more powerful their weapons become. But here we find the Brahmastra is greatly subtler than any of the weapons that can be created in the scientific laboratories. Because even the atomic and nuclear bombs that we read about being created today, which are threatening the survival of all of life on this planet, it is simply dealing with gross material energy. They haven't even come to the platform of subtle energy yet. The subtler you go, the more power. The Brahmastra is based on subtle energy. Through the chanting of mantra, we can create on a subtle level of air and ether certain powerful, explosive reactions which have a traumatic effect on the gross energy. One Brahmastra can destroy an entire planet within a second. That is their power. When Ashwatthama invoked this Brahmastra, it went into the sky and it was brilliant, more brilliant than the entire sun. Can you imagine if the earth were to touch the sun? Within a second, it would be destroyed. If it even became a little too close to the sun, it would be destroyed. The Brahmastra has such power of heat like the sun, but so accurate that the person who knows how to do this science can aim the Brahmastra toward a single particular point and destroy that point without harming anything or anyone else. The same Ashwatthama, he threw his Brahmastra at another time at the little embryo in the womb of Uttara, Maharaj Parikshit. He was performing abortion, killing the womb without even harming the mother. This is power. So when this great, incredible energy started coming to attack Arjuna, here is a weapon that could destroy practically the entire universe, and it's aimed specifically and exclusively at Arjuna. And in this condition, Arjuna became, on one level, bewildered, but on another level, he became enlightened. He was bewildered of what he should do on a material platform, but he became enlightened because he knew exactly what to do on the spiritual platform. He turned to Krishna. Arjuna said, "O my Lord Sri Krishna, you are the almighty personality of Godhead. There is no limit to your different energies. Therefore, only you are competent to instill fearlessness in the hearts of your devotees. Everyone in the flames of material miseries can find the path of liberation in you only. You are the original personality of Godhead who expands himself all over the creations and is transcendental to material energy. You have cast away the effects of the material energy by dint of your spiritual potency. You are always situated in eternal bliss and transcendental knowledge." Arjuna is here recognizing and declaring it to all the world. What is the position of Krishna? He is Parthasarathi, but he is always the original, all-powerful controller of all controllers. This material nature is working under his control. Maya dyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara. Srila Prabhupada is explaining that the ignorance, the darkness of the material world is also created by Krishna. Although Krishna has no darkness within himself. This is a wonderful, wonderful concept to conceive, that nothing can exist unless it originates in Krishna. Because Krishna is the cause of all causes. So some people say, if nothing can exist that doesn't originate in Krishna, if there is no quality in this universe that is not present in the Lord, then what about the bad things? What about envy? What about ignorance? Does ignorance exist in Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada is explaining here that no, ignorance does not exist in Krishna, but it is emanating from Krishna. He is the cause of ignorance. Just like darkness does not exist in the sun, but without the sun, there can be no darkness. There can be no shadow. The shadow is dependent on the sun for its existence. But at the same time, there is no shadow in the sun. In the same way, when we look toward the sun, we see light. When we look away from the sun, we see shadow, we see darkness. But the sun is the cause of that shadow. In the same way, when we look toward Krishna, we see light, we see knowledge, we see bliss. But when we look away from Krishna, we see the shadow. Krishna is the cause of that shadow. And that shadow is darkness. That shadow is ignorance. And it is only within that shadow of ignorance that all of these apparent negative qualities exist. Mundane lust and pride and greed and envy. They are all products of that ignorance, avidya. They are the perverted reflection within the shadow of the divine spiritual energy of the Lord. So although Krishna is the cause of ignorance, he is not tinged by ignorance, nor is there any ignorance within him. He is the cause of all causes, but he is never affected in any way by his material energy. When Krishna comes into this world, he explains in Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo piti tattvata tyaktva deham punara janma naiti mam eti swarujuna. That my appearance and activities in this world are divyam, they are transcendental. Tribir guna mayaya bhavaya, they are above, beyond the modes of material nature. And therefore, when we hear the divine pastimes of the Lord, when we remember the divine form of the Lord, when we chant the holy names of the Lord, we are connecting our consciousness to that which is above and beyond the modes of material nature, that which is eternally uncontaminated. And therefore, our consciousness becomes uncontaminated. Our consciousness transcends the modes of material nature so long as we were remembering Krishna. There is a beautiful verse spoken by the Prachetas in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which they pray to the Supreme Lord. They say that as long as your devotees are properly attentive in glorifying you, there can be no envy or quarrel amongst them. But as soon as the subject matter of their consciousness changes, immediately all of these negative qualities of darkness and ignorance are there. There is darkness and there is light. If we are not taking shelter of the light, we are in darkness. If there is any moment we are turning our vision away from Krishna, then we are again identifying with the shadow. There are three principal energies. Parashya Shaktira Vivadaiva Shruyate. There is a spiritual energy. There is the material energy. And there is the jiva, Tatashta Shakti, marginal energy. And when the tatashta shakti, when the jivatma turns toward Krishna, the spiritual energy, he's in light, he's in bliss, he's in knowledge, he's beyond birth and death. But as soon as we forget the spiritual energy, as soon as we turn our vision away from Krishna, then immediately we are plunged in darkness and ignorance, and all the byproducts of that ignorance, which are the cause of all suffering. The spiritual energy is sat chit ananda, and the material energy is asat achit nir ananda. And this is our choice, always, to look toward the light or to look toward the shadow. And in this material world, everyone is habituated to looking toward the shadow. Everyone in this world is seeking joy, pleasure, even refuge in the darkness of the shadow. And there are three modes of material nature: tamaguna, rajaguna, sattvaguna, where people are different aspects of that shadow, they are seeking shelter. They are seeking pleasure. Anandamayobhyashat. But there is no happiness to be found in the shadow. There is no real light in darkness. Therefore, the great acharyas have told us this material world is a place of misery. And even the pleasures of this world are miserable. And to convince people who are intoxicated by illusions of this world of this is not an easy thing. Srila Prabhupada would tell us, when somebody's really, really intoxicated by the illusion that they are enjoying material life, it's difficult to preach to them. Because they may listen, but it doesn't really go very deep into their heart. Because they think that they're enjoying. They think that this world is a wonderful place. But Krishna explains, Yehi samsparashi jabhoga dhuka yonayevate atyanta banta konte anate shudamate buddha. That even the pleasures of this world are sources of misery. Whether you're happy or whether you're distressful, it's all miserable. Why? Because it is all in the realm of darkness, of ignorance. It is all in the realm of the shadow. It is all destined and predestined to culminate in death. So therefore, we want to turn our vision always to the light, moment after moment. Krishna consciousness is a process which takes place moment after moment after moment. It is not that we just pay some dues and think that at the end of our life we will go back home, back to Godhead. It is a matter of surrendering our hearts, surrendering our consciousness to Krishna by remembering Him, by pleasing Him, moment after moment after moment. And the only moment we have control over is the present moment. Procrastination is a great spiritual deficiency. Now let me enjoy tomorrow. Prahlad Maharaj, that great Mahajan, he condemned this idea. Komara achare pragyo dharman bhagavatam. Now, at this time, whatever your age, whatever your situation of life, you must remember Krishna. You must make Krishna first. Look toward the light. Have no more faith in the darkness. But the forces of darkness, they are continuously, in fact, they are eternally trying to induce us, convince us to have faith in this darkness. To find hope in this darkness. And all around us, sometimes our own family members, our own so-called friends and well-wishers, the government, politicians, officials who are so-called meant to be our protectors and our guides. And in the colleges and universities, the professors and the teachers and the scientists, they are all creating so much incredible propaganda to convince us to put faith in the forces of ignorance and darkness. And their propaganda is so powerful. In fact, it's as powerful as the propaganda of the devotees, because it is Krishna's energy. Therefore, devotees have to really learn how to protect themselves and keep their vision in the light of His mercy. That is why association of devotees is essential. Because we are surrounded on all sides by darkness. We have to keep our vision upward toward the lotus feet of Krishna, toward the sun, toward the light of Krishna. Krishna Surya Sam Maya Hoya Andaka Yahan Krishna Tahana Maya Radhika. And we need help. We need support. Nasta Praishya Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavati Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtake. Every day we must hear Bhagavat. Why? Krishna's. It is Krishnesu Dharma Bhagate Dharma Yanar. The Bhagavatam is like a light. It is a transcendental light which gives enlightenment and direction in this age of Kali. So we must keep our consciousness connected to Srimad Bhagavatam, and we must keep it connected through associating and serving those people who are living the Bhagavatam. There is the person Bhagavatam and the book Bhagavatam, and they are the light, the shelter in the darkness of this age of Kali. So we must very carefully learn how to associate with devotees, learn how to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, learn how to put it into our life. And of course we know throughout the Bhagavatam, from the beginning to the end, we understand that Krishna's name is not different than Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically came to teach us how to live according to the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Gaurasundar came in a beautiful, effulgent, golden form, like that of the sun, to give light in this age of darkness. Bande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanando Sahodado Gododaye Pushpabanto Chitro Sando Tamodado. Sri Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya, and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, they have risen like the sun and moon simultaneously to give light in this darkness of the age of Kali. At night, the full moon lights up everything. And in the day, it is the sun. Without the full moon, and without the sun, there can be nothing but darkness in this universe. So the sun and moon have arisen simultaneously in the horizon of Gododesh in the form of Sri Sri Nitai Godachandra to give light. And what is that light? The light of the Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the personification of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Krishna, every syllable non-different than Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that Bhagavatam in supreme personality appearance. The Bhagavatam has personified as Gauranga. The culmination of the Bhagavatam is the beautiful loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. The culmination of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna's subordination to the love of Radha. In the 10th canto, he left all of the other gopis of the Ras Lila only to be with Sri Radharani. And he carries her on his shoulders to satisfy her. This is the conclusion of Bhagavad philosophy. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach all of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He came to taste the sweetness of the love between Radha and Krishna, and simultaneously to teach all the principles that gradually lead to that supreme realization. Therefore, by keeping our consciousness always on the process given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are always fixed in the light of the Bhagavatam. By serving the Vaishnavas, by discussing topics of Krishna Katha, by chanting Krishna's holy name, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
We can always keep our vision in the light, in the bliss, in the ultimate knowledge of truth, of Krishna. But if we relax, we are immediately cast again into the shadow of ignorance. So we must strive, we must struggle, we must be enthusiastic. Saraswati Thakur would say that if you cannot preach unless you have enthusiasm, you cannot give light to others unless you are aggressive to remain within the light yourself. It is very important. There is light and darkness. There is up and down. If you're not striving to go up, you go down. If you are not looking toward the sun, then you will be in darkness. And when we speak of surrender, on a practical level, by which we can understand, surrender means to be very, very enthusiastic, to always and strive, to strive and struggle, to be within the light of truth, to be remembering Krishna, to be serving Krishna, to be associating with his devotees. We cannot relax. We must be very bold. We must be very, very fearful of the consequence of forgetting Krishna for a moment, of wasting a moment's time in our life. This should be our fear. A devotee does not fear death. We should not fear shame of being dishonored, because these are all illusory manifestations of this energy which will come whether you like it or not. But what we should fear is that we are caught up by this energy and we forget our true identity as the eternal servants of the Lord. Therefore, we find in the prayers of the great devotees, their fear is that they forget Krishna for a moment. Their fear is that they serve Maya even for a moment. They become subordinate to the external energy by not aggressively engaging in the service of the superior energy, Krishna consciousness. You are the original personality of Godhead who expands himself all over the creations and is transcendental to material energy. You have cast away the effects of the material energy by dint of your spiritual potency. You are always situated in eternal bliss and transcendental knowledge. Therefore, Krishna is our only real and true friend. He is the only one who has power over Maya. There is only one friend, and that is Krishna. And anyone who brings us to Krishna is our best friend. And there is no other friend in the real sense of the term, because no one else can bring us out of the darkness, which is the cause of all suffering. Is there any questions? Yes.
As you say, Maharaj, that if you go in our, if we are thinking of Krishna, we are in light, and if we forget Krishna, we are in darkness. In due course of our profession, at least we face this problem very often, that once we have one thing in our mind that we are doing our profession only as a service to Krishna, whatever return we'll be getting from our profession, we'll be serving for Krishna. But still, once we are in a temple or with the association of devotees, we are directly in that atmosphere and we are thinking of Krishna. Once we go in our profession, we can't think of Krishna directly. We have to think of our profession, give our heart and soul in it. Then only we can be completely successful in it. And the time we give our full concentration of our business, in our profession or business, we have to forget Krishna as directly, as said we have that thing, we are doing it as a service to Krishna. But the time we give full concentration of our business, I have seen it that the Maya used to attack us. And we are completely... Such a criticism of that critical thing, I can't think of Krishna because if I have to be an expert in my profession. At the same time, if I forget thinking of Krishna, Maya is to attack me. So how to come out of it?
Krishna manifests himself by his inconceivable mercy in many forms by which we can connect our consciousness with him. For instance, Sri Radha Gopinath, these most beautiful Vigraha Murtis of the Lord, are none different than Krishna. It is Radha and Krishna. Not representatives of Radha and Krishna, but Radha Krishna in their fullness, manifested before us. Why? So that we can behold their beauty, we can offer ourselves in a very tangible way before them to help us remember them. In another form, which is non-different, Krishna appears within his name. When we are chanting japa, when we are chanting in kirtan, with the sound of mridanga and karatals, that consciousness is with Krishna. There is no difference between the murti and the name. And when we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the sound vibration is also non-different. It is Krishna. And when we are thinking of the instructions of our spiritual master and endeavoring to execute the instructions of the spiritual master, Krishna is none different than devotional service. When Arjuna was asked to fight, he was thinking about shooting arrows in very specific places in people's bodies. He was immersed in thinking of organizing massive phalanxes of soldiers. It was not a time when there was mridangas and karatals dancing in kirtan. And he wasn't even necessarily looking at Krishna. He was looking at the people he was supposed to kill and defeat. But because he was doing it in the execution of Krishna's orders with Krishna's blessing, by his concentrating on fighting, he was thinking of Krishna because he was concentrating on fulfilling Krishna's order for Krishna's pleasure. So if our duty in our service is the order of our spiritual master, who's Krishna's representative, and we are doing it with the blessings of the Gurudev, then thinking of business is thinking of Krishna. But in order to keep that proper conception alive within our hearts, we have to not only fulfill one aspect of his instruction, but all aspects of his instruction. Guru Maharaj may say that you chant 16 rounds attentively every day, you hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day, you associate in a humble spirit of serving devotees regularly, you follow these four regulative principles carefully, and you do your work, and you offer fruits of your work in the service of the Vaishnavas. If you are practicing all of these, not just part, but all, then your whole life is a service to Krishna. and attentively and carefully executing all of these things under the guidance of advanced devotees is thinking of Krishna. But if you think, I will just do my work and I will act immorally, or I will not chant the holy names, or I will not regularly hear Bhagavatam, then your work is not thinking of Krishna, because you're not doing it according to Krishna's order. But if you put all of these things together nicely, then you are executing Krishna's order. And that consciousness is Krishna consciousness. And you have nothing to fear.
Maharaj, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, we see that Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, when he convinces him to fight, he tells Arjuna to proclaim it that my devotee will not vanquish, he can never be defeated. He just proclaimed this. And as you were explaining yesterday, that Ashwatthama had killed the five sons of Draupadi, not the way a Kshatriya does. So we see in the killing of Karna, when Karna was on the side of irreligion and Arjuna was completely with, you know, on the side of religion and Krishna was himself with him, then why did Krishna make Arjuna break the most important military code? And the second aspect of my question is that, Maharaj, if this is Krishna's command to protect religion, so can we understand from this pastime that sometimes in order to protect our mission, some aspect of our mission, we can also, with consultation of with the authorities, go against some of the legal codes of today?
There is Artha Kama Dhamma Moksha. And as Devamrita Prabhu was explaining last night, there is the Panchama Purushartha, Purushartha Siromani, the fifth goal, which is to surrender to Krishna, to love Krishna. To love and to surrender is the same. So, although Krishna was teaching religious principles in Mahabharata, Sarva dharmam puritya jamam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshaya shami masacha. Krishna revealed that the highest, most perfect of all religious principles is to surrender to him who is the absolute truth. We can put aside all relative truths in living in harmony with the will of the absolute truth. So when Arjuna was asked to kill Karna, Krishna specifically designed it in that way so that Arjuna was in a position to show all of us that as a pure devotee, an unalloyed servant of the Lord, he was willing to transcend mundane conceptions of religion for the highest principle of real religion, to surrender to the will of Krishna. Ultimately, that is the only religious principle, to surrender to Krishna. Vedaischa sarvairaham eva vedyo vedanta kirit veda vedeva chaham. The Vedas give so many injunctions of how to live within this world. But all of these injunctions are simply meant to know Krishna, to love Krishna, to surrender to Krishna. To love means to do the will of the beloved. As far as executing our mission, yes, at certain times in emergencies, with divine blessings from Krishna's representatives, we transcend certain moral codes.
But we should know that we cannot act independently in this regard. We should work in harmony and respect for the laws of the state. But if the laws of the state are contradictory to the laws of God, we must accept the laws of God as preference. For instance, cow slaughter, abortion, intoxication, and even illicit sex are sanctioned by the laws of the state. Abortion is legal, yet we preach against it. We are preaching against a law of the government because it is directly in defiance of the law of God, and we will never compromise that. And it is the law of the state that people can slaughter innocent animals. But we will preach adamantly against it. Why? Because it is defiance of the law of God. Is there any other questions? Yes.
Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, while chanting, we as a spirit soul are decided to chant attentively, but our mind starts giving disturbances, so many thoughts coming, and it gives disturbances, and so it creates a lot of disturbance in our chanting. So is it that the thinking of mind and thinking of spirit soul is different, or spirit soul is thinking through mind, or so what is the relation of spirit soul with mind, intelligence? Because we are decided to chant attentively, we as spirit soul, but mind starts giving us disturbance, creates a lot of disturbance. What is exactly mind, intelligence, ego, and its relationship with spirit soul?
Just like if you are a prisoner, there are so many difficulties due to the limitations of the prison that you have to undergo. But it is not the prison that takes the place of yourself. It is the environment of the prison that creates suffering to you. So at this particular time, due to our offenses, since time immemorial, that the eternal soul, which is meant to be free from all material sufferings, is imprisoned within the mind. We are prisoners of our mind. And the senses are like the guards of the prison that are harassing us, persecuting us through the mind, within the prison of the mind. So it is not the mind that is suffering. It is the soul imprisoned in the mind that is identifying with that suffering. Because mind is material. There's no life to the mind. It's an element. It is the soul that is the witness. It is the soul that is alive. So whenever our mind becomes uncontrolled due to the forces of the senses, we should know that it is the environment, the atmosphere of the prison, that is causing us so much problem that we can't even remember Krishna. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, has given us the key, the way out of this prison. And if we are sincere, the way out of the prison is to appeal to his mercy, because he has the power to deliver us. And by our sincere endeavor, we attract his mercy. And that is the only way out. the fortress of the prison of the mind is formidable. Walls that you cannot scale, bars that you cannot escape from, shackles that keep you bound. We're powerless in this prison. But if we call out sincerely for Krishna's help, if Krishna sees that we really want to be his devotee, that we really want to try to chant his name, that we really want to become humble, just that gesture, just that endeavor, just that sincerity is pleasing to Krishna. And by his mercy, he releases us from this prison. So when you are chanting the holy names in this prison of your mind and difficulties arise, don't worry, just be sincere, be attentive as far as possible. Show Krishna you want to serve him nicely. And that is all that is required. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.